afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, April 16th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Mel. Did you get your taxes paid on time?
Well, there's a little piece of paper that's called an extension.
Oh, okay.
Been so, there, yes, done that. I did get that filed on time. You betcha. You betcha. How about yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a whole $19 back.
Did ya?
Yeah, I'm going to take next year off.
Oh, fantastic.
Well,
that'll get you an ounce of silver.
Yeah, I guess it would, wouldn't it? But March already spent it, so I guess I have to wait till next time.
Yeah, I have to wait for your next year's refund. Okay.
Exactly.
All righty. Well, with prices as they are today, you almost could get 2 ounces. Pressure, dollar stronger. Gold down $11 today at $1,277. We did have a low of $1,272. They did beat it up pretty good. And it really wasn't that bad in early morning trade, but you know, the Dow was up triple digits earlier in the day. That came back, and but gold reversed itself by $5 from the low, but it's still $1,277. Silver, $1,508. And that was, if you were able to buy on the dip today, the low was 1482. So it would have been a good, if you were able to buy on that dip. Some of you did, not many, because you just can't, you know, those lows hit so quick and, you know, it's just impossible to get at the very low. But that's what people strive for, and they think they can do it. They don't realize that it's constantly changing. Platinum was was down $8 today at 884. Palladium was down two at 1365. The USDX today back up over 97, up 13, 97.05. Crude oil was up 76 cents at 64.16. And the paper markets today, you had the Dow up 67. Not too long ago, it was 25. Currently, like 15 minutes ago, it was 25, so they brought it back. And now we're looking up 67 points, up a quarter percent, to 26,452. The NASDAQ, 8,000 on the nose, unless they change it here in the next couple of minutes. But 8,000.23, up 24. S&P, 2907. Up one, so they didn't move much in the day. I would have to assume that the 10-year yield, yes, is stronger, 2.59%, 2.59% up 0.04. You know, Hong Kong was up a little over a percent, and everybody else was just up, you know, maybe a quarter percent thereabouts. And so, you know, it's really, the news is just bizarre, because it's all about elections now. We've got this election, for a year and a half. It's going to be longer than a year and a half.
And they're crawling out of the woodwork everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, and some creatures are outright scary.
Well, the Republicans did the same thing. I mean, they were everywhere.
Of course.
There was, what, 16 of them, and now we have, you know. But it's just, oh, my gosh. And, you know, the news today, again, they're just from the White House. They're supposedly making very good progress being made in China talks. That always pushes the markets higher. The Fed is looking to seek other Fed candidates. Remember, Kane and Moore, but it doesn't look like they're, you know, cutting the cloth for the other Fed candidates' positions. Let's see if there's any. We're going to talk a little bit about manufacturing. That looks like that slowed down a little bit. U.S. manufacturing output was unchanged in March, and that's following two straight monthly declines. And this is the first quarterly drop in production since President Trump was elected. Yeah, the weakness in manufacturing reported by the Federal Reserve on Tuesday is in tandem with the moderation in a broader economy. And soft manufacturing, let's get down. Slowing economic growth reflect the stimulus from the $1.5 trillion tax cut. Okay, where's the numbers, ladies and gentlemen? Where are production at factories dropped at a 1.1% annualized rate in the first quarter. And this was the first quarterly drop since the third quarter of 2017, followed a 1.7% pace of increase in the October-December period. Markets really didn't move that much. I think that's why they were up, you know, a little bit, then they came back down. But, you know, really the markets didn't move today. Motor vehicles, parts production dropped 2.5% in March, after they increased almost 2.5% in February. An inventory overhang in the automobile sector is weighing on production. Factory employment declined in March for the first time since July of 2017. And let's see what else is important. And that's about it. There's some other numbers in here, but you know, it's just pretty much looking about how the manufacturing is, you know, is also being hobbled by last year's surge in the dollar. So strong dollar is not really good for a long period of time. And, of course, you have this, the softening of the global economic growth. And, you know, they might be blaming the delivery stoppage and the production slowdown for the 737 MAX Boeing's. You know, that could be a drag on production and orders data in the near term. So they're already setting that up for the scapegoat.
You know, that, so, they moved that back now to put flying again, what, the July now, I believe it is?
Yeah, I believe it's something, it's several months, yeah.
Yeah, into July. And I just wonder if the problem was that strong, or are they trying to let this kind of slide by to get out of people's minds for a few months?
Probably both.
It could be. You know, but that they took quite a hit with that, you know, and I just wonder if they just were just trying to regroup. And, you know, most people's memories are pretty short, you know that. They don't remember a lot very long.
Oh, yes, they are. So, except when anyway. Except when it comes to me, sometimes they have real long memories.
Women always have a long memory, especially with their husbands.
Oh, stop.
Something did wrong 35 years ago.
We never forget, right?
That's true. Yep. I said this 35 years ago, and she wore this dress, and I was doing that, and she remembers all that stuff.
You know, before we move on to what you want to talk about, Butch, you know, there was another, Michael Snyder did another, and this is something he talks about. What we talk about on this program all the time is debt, and we talk about corporate debt, and, you know, and he did a great little, he just puts all the facts together really easy, and so it's fun to quote him and so forth. You know, we take, you know, radio programs an hour at a time to talk about this stuff, and it's something that people really do forget. You know, we've seen corporate debt, it has more than doubled since the last financial crisis. And it's sitting at a grand total of more than $9 trillion. And we've seen other corporate debt binges throughout our history, and they all end badly. And in fact, the ratio of corporate debt to U.S. GDP rose about 40% prior to each of the last three recessions. But something we have to remember about when we see these higher interest rates, and another reason why they can't let these rates go higher. Corporate debt is, the bubble is larger than it has ever been. And risky corporate debt has been growing faster than any other category. Through 2023, as much as almost $5 trillion of this debt is scheduled to mature. And because of higher rates, these companies increasingly are going to have difficulty in making these interest payments on their debt, which is growing faster than the U.S. economy. Butch, this isn't going to end pretty.
No, it isn't. Well, you know, according to you, reading the same article I did, the last three recessions, this was a sign for all three of them when they hit, and this one's worse than the last two. So it's not going to be pretty at all. You know, they juggle everything they can. When it does go this time, Melody, I think it's going to be the worst ever. Maybe not quite as bad as the Great Depression in some ways, because we have still have some welfare benefits coming in. People back in the 20s didn't have that.
But when the government collapses, there won't be money to pay those benefits either.
There you go. That's exactly right. The corporations and the businesses will go first. When businesses go, governments have to go because they ran out of tax revenue.
And these corporations have done the same thing. Instead of spending the money to build factories, hire workers, expand their businesses, like all the old trickle-down theory is supposed to work, the big corporations, they just spend more money on stock buybacks than anything else. You know, it's not any different than government. Look at all the money that government is spending. Are they building roads? Is there any infrastructure going? What have they done to improve this country? Other than give tax cuts reform. They can't even give us decent competitive health care.
No, they can't. And I'm afraid they never will, because...
And they never will.
No. Right. Government can't run it. Can't even run its own business. How can it run our businesses? And it's trying to. It's totally immoral and unconstitutional. The government's involved in any of this. But who knows today, and who cares? You know, Michael Snyder came out with a very powerful article, and it's entitled "The Coming Economic Hell for American Families." And he put together a few good words here. I'm going to read this about a paragraph, if you don't mind, because I think it's important. Because it's going along with what you're saying. Tens of millions of American families are about to go through economic hell, and most of them don't even realize it. Most Americans don't spend a lot of time thinking about things like monetary policy or economic cycles. The vast majority of people just want to be able to get up in the morning, go to work, and provide for their families. Most Americans realize that hinges. Those people who realize that things seem harder these days, but most of them also have faith that things will eventually get better. Unfortunately, things aren't going to get any better. The number of jobs continues to decline. The number of Americans losing their homes continues to go up. People are having a much more difficult time paying their bills, and our federal government is drowning in debt. Sadly, this is just only the beginning. Since the financial collapse of 2008, the Federal Reserve and U.S. government have taken unprecedented steps to stimulate the economy. But even with all these efforts, we're still living in economic wasteland. Very well put. Very well put. Maybe we are still going along, Melody, but as he said, it's getting more difficult every day. And anyone who has to work for a living and lives on a budget realizes things are going up and up and up, and keeping that budget under control is getting harder and harder, isn't it?
It is. And you know what? The dangerous part is people in business, you know, you see construction getting stronger. You see all this building going on. That's what gives the people hope. They think, well, you know, that's going on. It's really good. My business might have picked up a little bit and so forth and whatnot. But yet they're working longer. They're working harder. And they're not getting ahead. They're at the same spot as they were. And eventually, you know, they're hopeful. They think it's only affecting them. They just, like, block everything else out. They don't want to know anything. And they just want to hope that they can continue,
Well,
everything is going to remain the same. They can't prepare for a hard time.
You would think when you see all the belly aching, but price is going up. For example, gasoline went through the roof the last month or so, 40 some cents in some areas. When you see the price of food going up because the gas is going up, you see utility going up because fuel is going up, and you see all these things linked together, and people realize it's taking more of their hard-earned dollars to break even. You would think after a while they'd figure out there's something wrong here, and it's only getting worse. It's not turning around. No matter what they see going on around them. And Melody, we're not the only ones feeling this. People that maybe some businesses are expanding some, and that's all wonderful and good. But the average person out there that works a day for a living is feeling the pinch worse every day. And every year it gets almost unbelievably harder. Personally, I can tell you this is a fact. I've seen more of what I've worked hard to earn over the years being taken away by a simple word called inflation. Now, whatever causes it, that's not the point. We know it's a fiat currency. We know it's adjusted prices. But it is still called inflation, and it still eats up the dollars I have, and I get less value each year out of the dollars I have, and I don't get enough increase in any kind of pay to take up the slack. And I think that's a fair statement, don't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, I don't know how families make it today when you have young ones, if you have any of them in daycare, with health insurance costing, what, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 for a family of four or more? I could never even imagine paying those types of premiums for health care.
No way.
I mean, good grief.
I know what I was paying when I semi-retired some years ago. And Melanie, it was a chunk of change from Marsh and I.
Oh, I know what I'm paying now. Yeah.
$600 a month premiums plus $8,000 or $10,000 deductible. So that took up a lot of my earnings. That's one of the reasons why semi-retired. I can go to the VA and I got a better coverage on Marsha too. Blessed by God to do that. The company called Humana. But nonetheless, I couldn't afford it any longer with what I was making. My business sales were going down because at the time, coal mines I sold to were shutting down. Now, they were good customers. They were, you know, they spent the money and paid the bills. And when you lose a $50,000 a year customer and you make 15% commission off of it, that adds up. You lose 2 or 3 of them, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So that's one of the reasons why I semi-retired. I see it coming. I want to get out while I still have some money coming to me. So, yeah, folks, it does make a difference, and health insurance has eaten me alive. I'm so thankful that I had an alternative to go to. I've been up the creek.
You would have been a what?
Up the creek.
Oh, up the creek?
Without a paddle. Yeah, up the creek, right. Go make fun of me. That's all right. I'm a hillbilly. Go ahead.
Well, I really thought you said something else, and I couldn't figure out that. But yeah, I agree. And it's often, you know, we talk about this day in and day out, and I get tired of it too, ladies and gentlemen, because I know something's going to break. I mean, but when you look at, you know, he also wrote about, we just got a minute here. You know, we've talked about this, about shadow banking, non-bank lending. It's an industry that has played a central role in the financial crisis, and it's been expanding rapidly. We talked about this just last week. You know, and when you think of it, it has now become a $52 trillion bubble. Then this has exploded all over the globe. You know, these levels just can't go. How far can it go? I don't know. But all you need is somebody to hiccup. All you need is somebody to have a bad day. Whether it be a government official, a financial planner, whatever. Goldman, you know, whoever. It could be a bad storm.
Well, what's the next number after a trillion? What's the next number after a trillion? What's the next number after a trillion dollars?
Is it a quadrillion?
I have no idea. Wouldn't that be four? I don't know. Bob means four.
I should know. I did know, but I can't think.
Oh, well. We'll find out next week when it happens.
We'll be right back, because our break is going to happen right now. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. I think we'll finish it up with debt as we were heading into the break, and we were talking about debt, corporate debt, the interest on that debt, and these corporations, how are they going to pay $5 trillion coming up from now until 2023? The question.
Well, Alan Greenspan made a comment. If you get something, please go ahead and say what you want to say. I don't cut you off.
That's what I said. We're finishing up that that segment. So,
Alan Greenspan's economy will be crushed very dramatically. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan issues a warning about the United States' inability to curb their entitlement spending. Greenspan said that the economy will fade very dramatically because of the burden of the socialist policies already in place. Entitlements. Now listen to what he said. The socialist policies already in place. Alan Greenspan said that. Imagine. Many economic analysts have been warning about the level of spending on the Ponzi schemes such as Social Security and other government handouts for decades. But whether Americans want to believe it or not, reliance on the government should be called and for their own good. People lose the will to even want to do better in most cases when a check is handed to them because they exist. In an interview with CNBC, Greenspan finally said what needed to be said, and those shocked by this claim were the ones need to hear it the most. The government is $22 trillion in debt. Now, folks, that's actually a very low number. But anyway, the gravy train will derail at some point. Economic growth won't last if the U.S. labors under the burden of growing entitlement programs, former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan tells CNBC. All this as communists call for Medicare. Now listen to this. He's saying this, folks. All this as communists call for Medicare for all. A massive program full of hate taxation, tyranny, control, and of course, I lost the rest of the article. Anyway, he is calling this socialist and communist. Now, isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? I mean, he was a socialist. His ideas were socialist. He helped make the fiat currency stay in place. But he's calling these people socialist and communist. The policy is socialist and the people communist. That's quite a statement, is it not, Melody?
It is.
Really, when Alan Greenspan can see that, that's amazing. The socialist policies, he admits it, and the communists are calling for Medicare for all. If that doesn't just get your attention, then when a left winger, and I call him left winger, said that the left wing is too far out of kilter now, that's quite a statement in my mind. It truly is, and I just can't imagine that someone to come from the direction he did would even think about that. And not only that, liberals are mad at Pelosi. She's not liberal enough now, because she won't defend Representative Ilhan Omar, Minnesota, for attacks by President Trump and other Republicans. So she's not standing up strong enough against the far left. So now Pelosi is considered a mid road politician. Now when Pelosi becomes middle of the road, Melody, we are in big trouble. Big trouble.
We really are, and I watched a part of that Fox News had Bernie Sanders on last night. And I'll tell you what, the way people applauded for his, you know, free Medicare for all.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and he comes up with these absurd ways to finance this and so forth. It's almost like they're under the same spell that for some reason, like the people were under Obama's spell. I mean, it was just like they don't even think, they just follow. Even
well,
to some degree, President
stuff.
Trump. Well, even to some degree, yeah, but people who follow President Trump don't want free stuff. But they like fall under the spell and thinking these people are really going to out to help us and help this country. I don't get it.
Kind of like a herd of lemmings, you know. Follow one of the leaders, both ways take you off the cliff. Just takes, you know, just the way it is.
Yeah.
And that's really sad. And I've seen that all my lifetime. That's why I finally begin to realize that politics as a whole really stinks, and politicians are what makes it stink. And I don't mean statesmen. I don't know too many statesmen left in the government, but politicians have really suckered us in for a lot of years, long before you and I were born, Melody. My grandma and grandpa suckered in the Social Security system under Roosevelt. He promised chicken in a pot and car in every garage, and he came through with it, basically. He did. But at what cost? And that was a drop in the bucket compared to what it is today. I mean, income tax used to be 2% when it started out. You filled out a little postcard. What is it now, Melody? And how much has it increased since it came into being in 1916? How much has it went up? How far, 100 years ago, how far has it come forward in taking away and sucking the private sector dry? And the middle class really gets hammered.
And it's just like these people with the... When Sanders was at this town hall, you know, and they talked about, yeah, taxes are going to increase to pay for it. That's like people were applauding. That's like, well, you people must not pay taxes. I mean, don't you think it through? There is no more critical thinking in this world.
No, you're right.
And it's just like, you know, I guess to some degree, some things are, you know, people have woke up to, you know, the border, maybe to the severity of it and so forth. And, you know, maybe, you know, people have never heard the term, you know, the cities. So maybe people are waking up to some degree, but they're not waking up to their finances and to the and how dire our situation really is. So be blessed we have all these pretty sunshine days while we have.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy them now, ladies and gentlemen.
You remember when Ben Franklin was asked by a lady what kind of government they had given us as a nation? Do you remember when that question was asked and what he said?
On who?
Ben Franklin was asked a question by a lady.
Oh, okay.
What kind
Go
of
ahead.
Government did you give us?
Go ahead.
And he said, a republic, madam,
republic.
If you can keep it. Yeah, if you can keep it. Now, he knew what he was saying, because republics almost always devolve into democracies and then into socialism. He knew that would happen. And the founders also said that only a moral and virtuous people can remain free. What that ought to tell us, we're all enslaved. What should that tell us about the country? I'll say this and move on. The burning of Notre Dame, as sad as that was, symbolizes a lot more than people realize. We'll call it the burning of the church and the morals that church once stood for. That's a good way to describe what's happened to the church in America. But Franklin said, we give you a republic if you can keep it, knowing that people would gravitate towards wanting more power as far as democracies and then voting themselves benefits. And that's where we are. He warned us 200-some years ago. We're here now only in spades.
Well, you know, not to get off on this, or, you know, to go into a difference, because, you know, we're talking finances and so forth, but I was telling you during the break, Pat Buchanan wrote a great article, and it will be in this weekend's newsletter. And he talks that this weekend the General Social Survey data revealed that Americans who profess to have no religion, 23.1%, now exceed Catholics, which is our largest religion, with 23%. Evangelicals at 22.5%, and the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, have grown by 266% since 1991. He says, as for the mainstream Protestant congregations together, they are not half as numerous as those Americans who profess no religion. He says, added to our racial and ethnic diversity, America is growing more diverse religiously, de-Christianizing with all deliberate speed. And this is, I just thought the sentence was, we are becoming another people.
Yes, another culture.
And a post, we are becoming another people, and a post-Christian America appears to be our destiny well before the end of this century. And then he goes on, and, you know, he goes on and talks about various statements and so forth, and, you know, about 2020. And, you know, it's, we are becoming, and he says, in a post-Christian America, in many ways, is beginning to mirror what we once taught that the pre-Christian Roman Empire looked like.
Very, very, very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
And,
sad, but you can see it. You can see it.
It's very, yeah. You can see it
every day.
And anyone who denies it, is probably, I don't know. How can you deny it?
Well, we were warned. Christ warned us in Matthew. He said that when the church loses savor, that means its saltiness, its preservative power. When the church loses the reason it's here to preserve society and keep it in line with his laws, and the church loses that, it'll be good for nothing. He said, be cast out and trodden under foot of the men. Is not fulfilling what Christ has told would happen? Is the church not being mocked? And rightfully so. When's the last time a church did anything to stop anything in this nation from getting more evil? So rightfully so. We're being mocked and ridiculed. The whole nation is being mocked and ridiculed. There was a time in America, in the early days, it was considered a moral nation and a decent nation. And now the world laughs at us. They no longer fear us. They hate us. And that's an earned reputation for this nation. You know that. I mean, Trump right now beat the drums to go to war with Iran. You all know that also. You know, he's declared part of the military, a terrorist group, and I'm just want to see if I'm that when Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced that Trump's administration would designate a branch of Iran military as a foreign terrorist organization, the Trump administration is simply recognizing a basic real reality. Now this is Pompeo speaking, but critics say they are concerned that it may also be part of an effort to being reality enough to provide legal justification for armed conflict with Iran. It's happened over and over and over and over with Iraq and Kuwait and other places. Said, I am troubled that the administration can't unequivocally say that you haven't been given power. I can tell you explicitly, you have not been given power or authority by Congress to have a war with Iran, Rand Paul said. The Trump administration will officially designate Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps as a foreign terrorist organization on Monday. Anyway, I do believe, and I'm going to say this right up front, because he's such close friends with Bibi, and his son-in-law is a professed Jew. He wants war with Iran, as Israel wants us to go to war with Kuwait and Hussein. Oh, we did all that for them. And now he's beating the drums and showing how evil Iran is. Do you remember whenever the Iraqi leaders supposedly took babies out of incubators and threw them on the floor, and the girl was talking about that and crying in Congress, and coming to find out she was lying? But it got the war started. That's where we're heading today in Iran. And that is scary, Melody. Iran is not Iraq or Kuwait or any of the rest of them. Lebanon. It's not. It's a much more developed country and a lot larger country to take on.
You have a lot of angry young men.
That's right. I agree.
And we're a nation that we might have a lot of angry old people, but there's not a whole lot we can do.
You know, we're saying that jokingly, but it's really true. Anymore.
I know.
Well, you know, I have a picture of people being bussed in to Las Cruces to Mexico, bussing in illegals now, call them asylum seekers, bussing them in and dumping them off in Las Cruces for church groups to take care of. I'm looking at a picture here, a whole line of them. I'm looking at, now you have to see the picture to know what I'm going to talk about. But I put a note above what's missing. This is a whole line of males, not one female in a whole bunch. A couple, a small child or two, most of them are ages 10 to 20 or 30. And most of them are probably in their teens or 20s. But it's a whole line of males. Should we be concerned about that? That these are coming in at almost military age, fighting men age, and no women?
Well, you know what? If they were vetted, but we knew who they were, and they came
that's
in
not
legally,
happen.
But that's not going to happen.
No. But it bothered me. I saw the picture. I'm looking at probably 25, 30 people here, and not woman in the whole bunch. Not one woman. That should tell something, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being paranoid. But when I look at some so-called families with no mothers, it's not a family. There's something wrong. So there, that's. I'll shut up on that before I get carried away with that. But that to me is so obvious. That if you come as a family, you bring your wives with you, not just the children. Any comments on that before you go somewhere else?
No, because you know I agree with you. I agree with you, and it's again the problem isn't being worked on; it's just being
shuffled around.
Just shuffled around.
Yep, is that what they're doing? Now, you know, the Border Patrol just dumping them off at Las Cruces said, here they are, they're yours. This is the first time they've done that. 85 one busload, 90 some the other. They just drop them off and say, hey, you take care of them. We'll back. Probably more.
You know, before we're heading into... It is. Before we're heading into another break, I just want to go back to, and then we can start something new coming out of the break. Pat Buchanan has another powerful statement in here, and he says, America is today as powerful, prosperous, and free as any nation the world has ever seen. And we have used that wealth and freedom to create a culture and a society many of our own people and much of the world now see as dissolute and decadent.
Amen.
And yeah. And then he went into about the post-Christian America. That paragraph was right before that about what the pre-Christian Roman Empire looked like. And it's... ladies and gentlemen, make sure you go to the website at dgscoins.com, sign up for our weekly newsletter. It's going to be a very brief, in fact, it's Easter Monday, so this will actually, I don't know if it'll get in this one. We weren't thinking of maybe just doing a little blog, so maybe it'll be the following week that this will actually be in the newsletter. I haven't decided yet, so, or just go to Pat Buchanan and, I am a fan of his. And I guess I'm a fan of our break also, because we're heading into one right now. So we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every...
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value. value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul. And what would you like to talk about next?
Well, this next story is really sad. It's true, but sad. But it's from a dairy farmer in Minnesota. And it said, we are taking loans just to pay bills. Now, this, I'm not going to read very much of it, but it's really a sad post. Mark Berg, 26, posted an emotional 6-minute-long video. You know, folks, you can watch this online. It's worth watching. Viewed more than 300,000 times, voicing his frustration with the strain of running a dairy farm. The young farmer, brushing back tears, talked about his father telling him that he has less than when he started the business 40 years ago. Said him and his father, this is read in an article further, were arguing all the time now. Didn't used to happen, he said. They never argued before. But now, because of the strain and the frustration his father feels, he has less coming in and less, even assets than he had 40 years ago. They're now selling their cows, folks, to pay their bills. You sell your dairy cows, you don't get much milk. Think about that. Highlighting the desperation of many of his peers in the dairy industry field, Berg says he knows that farmers have died by suicide. Minnesota saw the median income at dairy farm drop from $43,000, and mainly $43,000 a year is not a lot of money, is it?
No, not in today's world. If you have a family of four and have to pay $20 to health insurance.
No, it's not. And consider the hours these farmers put in. 7 days a week, those cows don't milk themselves on Sundays or Saturdays. You know that. They put in those hours 7 days a week, people, to deal with all the problems, putting up with the federal government and the state governments and local governments and their restrictions and doing their best to keep the laws and make a profit and pay their taxes. So anyway, he said he dropped from $43,000 last year to less than $15,000 this year, with one out of every 10 dairy farmers ceasing operations. Now, folks, please think about this a minute. They put in at least 12 hours a day. And Melody, I say that's conservative. Between feeding and milking and processing, I'd say 12 hours a day is a pretty liberal, conservative day for them. So at 6 days a week, 7 days a week, I mean, that's a lot of hours for $15,000, is it not?
Yes.
So I don't know, and I, what can I say? Did Trump's ideas hurt these farms? They were surviving before, I don't know how well, but to go from 43,000 one year to 15 the next year, something happened in the process, Melody. Was it the trade? What happened? We're no longer selling much milk or receipt. What happened with all this?
Well, you know, family member up north in Pennsylvania. You know, he doesn't own the dairy farm, but he works on the farm. And I can remember 10 years ago, things were moving quite nicely. You know, they had, I don't know, 400, 500 head of cattle for dairy cows and so forth. I don't know if that's bigger, large, or medium, or in between, but the point is they had that many. Now they're hovering around 170. they had to cut the cattle so much because the regulations, and a lot of the regulations are killing them. Then, you know, when things were good, they went into debt. And then when they started to slack off, and again, a lot of these trade, you know, with milk coming in and everything else, it was just a combination of everything. And now they're just, basically now they're just surviving. You know, but, you know, he does what everybody does. When business is good, they go out there, they go into debt, they big buy bigger farm equipment and everything else. And I don't know if I'm the only smart one in America, but when business is booming, I just work. You know, I don't go out and go into debt, you know, just because business is good. I don't open 8 locations just because business is good. That's why so many restaurants, you know, except for your chains, so many heard restaurants, they'd have a real successful restaurant, then they decide to expand and open another one, and it fails. You know, and that's why. So the best time you can expand is when things are bad, because it can only get better. So that's, but anyway, but yes, these farmers, these dairy farmers are having a difficult time for a lot of reasons. And debt is probably one.
And depression with that, with the ideas, causes, you, as I just said, suicide, and people actually losing their, I guess, their, what I'm looking for, their care for the world or living even. I mean, this article here is Seattle suicide, drugs and homelessness take their toll in the city. Seattle one time, folks, was considered a picture-perfect city. I mean, it was beautiful. This article said widespread drug use and homelessness is plaguing all socialist regions of the country. From San Francisco, where pedestrians have to literally watch the homeless shoot up, to Los Angeles, where medieval diseases have returned, thanks to policies that have made it impossible for everyday Americans to scrape by anymore. Seattle is also committing suicide. It is about the damage they can inflict themselves, to be sure, but also in the fabric of this place where we live. This story is about a beautiful jewel that has been violated, and a crisis of faith among a generation of Seattleites falling out of love with their home. Years of authoritarian socialist policies are taking their toll on American cities. It's time to say enough is enough. A heavy tax burden, regulations that push up businesses, and a power-hungry group of totalitarian sociopaths have been slowly eroding the city. The decay of Western civilization can be seen up and down the entirety of the West Coast. Some say it's by design, others disagree. But the commonality of that is that all of the cities are being pushed into poverty by illusions and lies of socialists. Calling Seattle anything other than a leftist paradise would be inaccurate. The city has all the laws the socialists want, yet is killing itself because of it. Now, that's pretty powerful, and that's exactly what's happened all over the country, not just in Seattle and Los Angeles and other places. It's happened all over the country. The socialist laws are killing society, are they not?
Yes, they are.
It's causing homelessness. It's causing depravity. It's causing frustration. It's causing suicide. It's causing drug usage. And in San Francisco and Los Angeles, you got to watch for stepping on the streets. You can step in somebody's dung. I mean, come on, people. This was not the nation that was 50 years ago. The socialistic policies took down the Russian Empire almost to destruction, and America bailed it out, Melody. That's the truth. They start changing away some, and they come back a little bit. But a socialist nation will eventually crumble under its own weight. Now, that's a fact. Any comments on that?
No, not at all. I mean, I agree with you. And you know what? We wouldn't, if we had gold as a standard, if we would have kept the gold standard, we wouldn't be here today talking about socialism, talking about 22, yes, that number is low, $1 trillion in debt, most likely defaulting on our debt because gold brought accountability. Not to say that there wasn't corruption and everything else when gold was out there. There was. We borrowed even when we had a government borrowed, when there was even gold as our standard. But it was truly accounted for. There was accountability. And without gold, it was, you know, it was opening the candy store for all the corruption, the bankers, and everything else that comes along with it. And then we got to get the citizens involved. So let's give some socialist programs out. That'll get the people tied in with us. And they'll go along That's with it as happened. Long as they're getting something for nothing.
I read yesterday evening, looking at some news online, and tell me if this is accurate, because I don't remember. I was not knowledgeable about gold and silver so much in 1971. I just got married, and you know, we were trying to struggle by, and prices back then were much more reasonable, but you didn't make as much fiat currency either. But it was the price of release where you could buy a loaf of bread for 10 cents, believe it or not. But was gold $35 an ounce in 71, or do you remember that? I know you don't remember far back, but you studied it some. Was it $35 an ounce back then?
Yes.
Now think about that, Melody. It's right at 1300 now. It's going back up again to 1300 eventually. If we would have known and had the money to buy some gold and silver back in 1971, what would that have been worth today?
A lot as far as
investing in something, it went up from $35 to $1,300. What could you put your money into that went that high?
Well, I mean, you can look at the stock market, I mean, the paper markets and so forth, but that's not why you buy gold. I mean, gold is there for...
No, it isn't.
But gold did keep up with the... and gold will never go to zero. Gold did keep up with the rate of inflation. And you put the money into the, you know, and yeah, back then when, you know, interest rates were, you know, 12, 15, yeah, it'd be nice to put some money in the bank and get a decent rate of return on your money. But that's not in today's world. And when you have these, and that's when it all started, though. You know, it all started when they closed the window and they took us off silver and they confiscated it in 33. It brought us to here today, to where we're at. What we're experiencing today in our financial markets, and yeah, I get it, folks. As long as that stock market is high, you're all happy. I get that. But the point of it is, how did it get there? It didn't get there based on good fundamentals. Look what it has done to our country. Just like Butch was talking about an article by Craig Paul Roberts, talking about what was the title of it?
America is no longer a nation.
We're not a nation anymore. We're an economy. I don't know if that's what he was writing about, but we're in an economy. We're a Wall Street. We're a stock market. That's all that anybody cares about.
Well, you know, to become a nation, you have to have some kind of common denomination between the people, no matter where they're from. We've lost all that too, Melody. We have nothing but constant strife between different people, different cultures, and of course that was plan B that way to cause the nation to fall. But in order to live together in society, you have to have some common goal, don't you?
You do.
And that's pretty much done away with. It truly is. And I read an article too that said the article was, I think, titled "The Divide of Congress is getting little accomplished." I'm almost glad at that. Even when Congress and Senate had the same party in 2 years, they got very little accomplished. I haven't seen much difference. I mean, really, people say, well, you shouldn't say that. Why not? It's true. Trump had both House and Senate both 2 years and didn't get a lot done. Now the House and the Congress and Senate are no longer on the same party, we'll say. Not much is getting done. Melody, what's been really the difference? Can you tell me the difference?
No, in fact, I think they've gotten less done than... I mean, they got the tax got done, and what else they do? What else did they do?
Good question.
What else did they do?
And of course, the Democrats now want to go after... They're subpoenaing some banks, you know, the Deutsche Bank, and they're also subpoenaing J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America and Citigroup. All those are being subpoenaed to try to find Trump's business dealings. And my question is why? They're still bringing up Russia and money laundering. If Mueller found nothing, illegal in the investigation, why are they still beating up to death on his financial business dealings? What he did with his businesses before he got in office, if he wasn't, you know, blatantly breaking the law, that's his business, is it not?
It is. My only issue is, did he lie about it? You know, but that's here nor there. My question is, I remember when Comey came out in the middle of July during the election, 2016 election, and said that there wasn't any for Hillary Clinton. What did he say? There was no wrongdoing.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Did they release that report?
No,
has anybody
didn't.
Asked for that report?
And when now, he now reopened, the people. Go ahead.
Huh? And when he reopened it right before the election and closed it, did anybody ask for that report?
They did not.
So why isn't this administration asking for it? Was
Good
it
question.
Public? Was it made public? I don't know. I don't recall.
I don't think it was. But, you know, now some of the people that testify before the Mueller investigation are afraid they're going to be in trouble and be exposed by it, what they told Mueller. And it's going to come out in the report that who said what that were part of Trump's organization. So, I don't know, Melody. This has been going on well over 2 years now, and it just keeps on going and going and going.
And
it's
you
got
know
to
what?
End sometime.
And you know what? I get it. Everybody says Mueller's after Trump. Okay, he is. And I get that the other side does it just as much. I get that. I understand it's not fair. It's a double standard. I get all that. But you know what? When we talk about how bad lobbyists are and the amount of money that goes in, I don't know. When it comes to Manafort, did he deserve to go to prison? He was a high-powered lobbyist. Lot of money being exchanged hands. This is what everybody complains about all the time. Just because it happens to be, you know, yes, I wish they'd go after them all, regardless of the side that they're on. But usually a lobbyist doesn't really have a side. You know, he's going to go to the biggest bidder, who has the most money.
He's a mercenary.
So yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I have no problem if they found information on, you know, Mueller and you know, whatever, whoever. I mean, they did have a lot of, you know, indictments. And I don't know how, you know, were they set up? I don't know. Do I agree that they raid his house in the middle of the night? No, I don't. But, and they should do it to other people. But, you know, it is what it is.
It is. It is.
And I don't have to agree with it, but hey, send a lobbyist to prison? What's wrong with that? Anyway, I'm going to get in trouble.
Unless he's lobbying for us.
Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble for that one, Butch. I just know. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, have a great evening. Be safe. Good night. And God bless.
Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.